Well, thank you, Philip, for the gospel and song this evening. And thank you, Colin, for sharing the platform this evening, leading the meeting. He paid a lovely tribute to Walton this morning, and a very fitting tribute indeed. Notice he didn't pay me any tribute like that. That's because he just sees me as a big idiot like himself, I suppose. But we're not... We were wise enough to seek the Lord early in life and to find Him a Saviour. And I thank Colin for leading the meeting this evening. I want to read some verses tonight, well-known verses from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And then some verses from Galatians, chapter 1. Good to see the boys and girls that have come out this evening. Make them specially welcome. You know, this is just not Christmas Eve. It's now Christmas Eve night. It's reaching that critical stage. It's Christmas Eve night. And rather than getting to bed early, the boys and girls have come out this evening, and it's good to see them. And we'll not keep them very long. So it's good to see everyone has come out again this evening on Christmas Eve night. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, reading from verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and to see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Some verses, please, from Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Again, reading from verse number 8. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I just turn over a page. Chapter 3, And again, verse 8. All our readings tonight have commenced from the 8th verse, Luke 2, Galatians 1, Galatians 3, verse 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We'll end our reading there, verse 9. Pray the Lord again will bless the public reading of Holy Scriptures this evening. In Paul's epistle to the Galatians, he commences in this first chapter by warning against those who are preaching another gospel. There are those that have started to add to the gospel, adding works to the gospel, Judaism. And Paul is preaching against it. And indeed, the Galatian epistle has to do with justification by faith alone. So he's not going to allow this any other gospel, but he says a hypothetical thing. And that's what we read in verse 8. He said, should we, including himself, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, let them be accursed. Just ignore them. Set them to one side and leave them for God to deal with them. Let them be accursed. Paul goes on to say where he received his gospel from. He says, I didn't even receive it of men. He says, I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. He got it direct from the Lord himself. That little expression that Paul used in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter of Galatians chapter 1, that little expression, an angel from heaven, I sort of wondered where he got that from. An angel from heaven. When did an angel from heaven ever preach the gospel? And I think what Paul had in mind was the words that we have read in Luke's gospel chapter 2. When this angel appeared to the shepherds, they're abiding in the field. That familiar story that we read at this time of the year and have heard it from our earliest days. Keeping watch over their flocks by night, but lo, the angel of the Lord came. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. They were startled and dismayed. The angel said, Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings. That word is the same word. Gospel. Translated here, good tidings. The word where we get, in the Greek, where we get our word evangelism or evangelical from. Good tidings. Gospel. The same word when Paul uses it in Romans chapter 1. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. The same word when Paul uses it again in 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. That which I preached unto you, which ye have received, wherein ye stand. I declare unto you the gospel. 2 Corinthians, he uses it again. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in. Every time you see that word gospel here, it's the same gospel word. It's the same word for gospel that we have in verse 10 of Luke's gospel, chapter 2. The angel is bringing a gospel message. You maybe say then, is that the first time the gospel was preached by an angel? Well, Galatians chapter 3 would indicate, again, we have another reference to the gospel. We read it in verse 8. that the gospel was declared to Abraham. Same principle to Abraham is brought to, it's justification by faith, isn't it? The gospel was proclaimed to Abraham, Genesis 12, when God calls him. Hebrews 11 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out, it says he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. He just believed God. And the gospel that we preach is one of justification by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's just believing God, taking God at his word. It's just heeding the word of God. The angel appeared unto them. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. To the Jew first, but to all the people. I bring you good tidings, and it's the word gospel. And tonight I want to look at the gospel, and just very simply, three components, three essentials of gospel preaching that we find that the angel brings before these shepherds. You see, I think this morning as we were gathered around the Lord's table, we were reminded of that great verse in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. And I just think, you know, and have been thinking during the week, verses 10 and 11 of Luke chapter 2 are just like what Paul does with that verse in 1 Timothy 1:15. You know that verse? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And if you look at verses 10 and 11, I believe this angel just does something like Paul does with that verse. The angel appears to these men. Fear not. I used to tell the boys and girls in Sunday school, the shepherds, where did you hear the news? They would have said it. They heard it on Sky News. They were watching Sky News. The angel appears to these men and it startles them and dismays them. Fear not. He's not coming in judgment. I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy. He sort of ensures their attention. Mind you, the very sight would ensure their attention. But he settles them down. I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy unto all people. Before he says anything, this angel sort of just settles these men. Calm down, man. When Paul in that great verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he sort of does the same thing. He prefaces what he's about to say. He says, this is a faithful saying. This is the truth. It's worthy of all acceptation. Is everybody listening now before he says anything? It's a faithful saying. He wants everybody to hear it. And it's worthy of all acceptation. Oh, all need it. All need to lay hold of it. So you have this little preface. Then Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And this angel says to these men, come, fear not. I have a message of good tidings. Great joy. Bring unto these men the gospel. It's to all people. What is it? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. These men heard the gospel from the angels of heaven. Paul says he heard it by revelation of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 tells us that Abraham heard it from God. Tonight I wonder, where can you this evening? I'm sure you can. Do you remember where you first heard the gospel? Did you hear the good tidings? I was thinking that during the week. I think I first heard it from my mother. And then Sunday school teachers. You're here this evening. Can you recollect where you first heard the good tidings of great joy? You're here this evening and you never did anything about this gospel message. You paid no heed to the gospel message. Somebody prayed, was it in the prayer meeting this evening? Or was it earlier in the day? The greatest story to ever fall upon mortal ears. The glad tidings of great joy to all people. What is it? We're all listening. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Then he goes on to say, and this shall be a sign, and ye shall find the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. 3 points that I want to make that's brought before us, very simple, in this text this evening. When the angel brought this message, who he is, he tells the shepherds who he is. And then he goes on and he tells the shepherds why he came. And finally, and I think this is very important, he goes on to tell them where to find him. Where to find him. Surely every gospel preacher and every gospel message ought to contain at least those 3 components. Who he is. Why he came. And how to find him. How to find him. The angel says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. That's who he is. Christ the Lord. We heard much about it this morning. Christ the Lord. You know, Luke in his Gospel, as we were reminded this morning, presents him as the Son of Man. Gives us all those lovely details of his birth in Bethlehem. Luke uses over 2,000 words to describe all the events surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. John's Gospel, on the other hand, John uses just 4 words. John says the Word became flesh. That's all. John didn't start at Bethlehem. If Luke's Gospel is the Gospel of the Son of Man, John's Gospel, and John presents him as the Son of God. John goes beyond Bethlehem. John goes back to the beginning. And John says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Then John says further down the chapter of John's Gospel, chapter 1, he says the Word became flesh. The only reference to his birth. How he came. But what's he saying? He's saying way back in eternity he was the only begotten Son of God. Co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent with God. God's only well-begotten Son. This angel says he's the Lord, Christ the Lord. I've heard Colin, I think, quoted 3 times this week already. no less almighty at his birth than on his throne above. His shoulder held up heaven and earth while Mary held up him, the babe of Bethlehem, the eternal Son, the one who was in the beginning with God, the one who without him was not anything made that was made. We're reminded also in the Philippian Epistle chapter 2, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man, being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Ah, what a stoop he took, what condescension. The one who was with God, the one who's the eternal Son of God, Christ the Lord. What a stoop to come in the form of man and to be born Bethlehem and to be led in a manger. Those words of Philippians chapter 2, I was reminded of something that I heard many years ago, was thinking about it again this afternoon. When the Queen, apparently in 1958, Queen Elizabeth, she had been Queen possibly about 6 years or so in 1958, but she went to Fife, Kirkcaldy, Scotland, royal visit, to meet miners. And she was dressed in a boiler suit and boots and gloves and helmet and miner's hat and went down a mine shaft and went to the coal face, and apparently it was about 30 minutes down that mine shaft. The lesson from that is this: she was no less the Queen of England or Britain and the Commonwealth when she was down that mine, as she was when she was on the throne wearing royal gown and crown. No less the Queen. And so it is with him. He took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. Aye, she looked like a miner. She was dressed like one, in fashion as a miner. Took the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man. Humbled himself. Who he is. Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. The angel not only told us who he is, the angel also said he's a Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. That's why he came. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the gospel. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, there's so many of the great gospel verses have this word saved in it, isn't there? Neither is there salvation in any other. None under name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And the angel announces a Savior, Christ the Lord. John 18. The Lord Jesus before Pilate. Pilate asks him, art thou a king? The only mention the Savior makes of his birth. Also often speaks and indicates and intimates to the disciples, and so often they didn't understand him. Spoke of his death. One mention of his birth. Art thou a king then? To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, to bear witness to the truth. John 18. John 19. He's lifted up on a cross, crucified between two thieves. You can sort of hear the words echo. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world. For there is one God. It's quoted at the prayer meeting. Denver quoted it. For there is but one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. One mediator, the man Christ Jesus. He became the Son of God, became the Son of Man, that he might lay down that life, that sinless life, that spotless life. He laid down his life a ransom for all. Savior. Who he is. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, the Savior Christ the Lord. Who he is. Why he came. Where to find him, and ye shall find him. Here's the sign. Ye shall find the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Where to find him? Directions given. How to find him? How do you answer that question tonight? Where to find him? Well, he's in heaven tonight. Philippians 2 again. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Seated at God's right hand. Well, you find him there. Where to find him this evening? Well, you could say you'll find him in his word. Harold Paisley called this Bible his hymn book. He said it's all about him. Genesis to Revelation, it's all about him. You'll find him in his word. Find him in the hymn book. Where to find him? I was thinking of the Old Testament. He's there. I was thinking of the great chapter of Isaiah 53. You'll find him there, surely. He's right in the center. Sidlow Baxter says that the central words of Isaiah 53 are the words, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's where you'll find him. In Isaiah 53, you'll find him on the cross, and he's dying for your sin and mine. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace laid upon him, with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned every one to their own way. But the Lord God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, if he's in the center of Isaiah 53, he's certainly in the center of the New Testament. In the great John 3:16, the central word is Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You'll find him. I want to suggest another place you'll find him this evening as we close. Where did the shepherds find him? They found him in a most humble place. The shepherds found him in the most lowly of places. They found him in a manger. I like what it says concerning the shepherds, the end of verse 15. It says, when the angels were gone away, the shepherds said one to another, let's now go even to Bethlehem to see this thing that's come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. The Lord made it known. Anything you know this evening concerning your soul's salvation or concerning the gospel message, come from God. Not to thank God for. The Lord made it known. Where to find him? A humble place. A lowly place. Where to find him tonight? Same place. A humble place. And a lowly place. If you're here this evening, not saved, do you know where you'll find the Savior? You'll find him on bended knee. Bended knee. You'll find him in a humble place. Aye. You'll find him on the end of a prayer. You'll find him on the end of a prayer, recognizing your need of a Savior, taking that humble place and bowing the knee and confessing your sin. Recognizing your need of a Savior, you'll find him at the end of a prayer that goes something like this: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Where do you find him this evening? You'll find him on your knees. You'll find him when you confess your sin. You'll find him when you pour out your heart before him and through repentance. You'll find him when you recognize who he is and why he came. You'll find him when you recognize why he died at the center tree at Calvary. You'll find him when you recognize that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. That's where you'll find him. You take your place as a sinner, a humble place, but a lowly place. You'll find the Savior this evening. Who he is? It's the Lord. O wondrous glory. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. Why he came. And where to find him. Notice, will you, the shift in responsibility that there is in this passage? There's now a shift of responsibility. The angel's gone. The message is told. The heavenly host is gone. And the Lord has made it known to these shepherds. How do they react? And the shepherds consider, and it says, let's now go. Let's now go and see. And it says that they came, notice how they came. They came with haste. Came with haste. If you're unsaved in the meeting this evening, you need to come with haste. How often have you heard this message? But you never bothered coming yet. Maybe put it off time and time and time again. Come with haste like the shepherds. Oh, haste, quickly haste, linger not. Get to that place, that humble place, and seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is yet near. We're singing in closing.